And we are back with another actual play adventure for you. Tonight on the feed is another Shadowrun game using the Cortex system by Margaret Wise Productions. The year is 2050, the setting of the first and second editions of the original Shadowrun game. I'm running my group through the published module Bottled Demon, written by James D. Long. The players tonight are Jameis, Stephen, Richard, and Katie. Here it is, all in one recording. So we're back with episode 2 of Bottled Demon. Yes, I gave away the name of the module in the forum, so there you go. Has nothing to do with might actually be in that bottle you have. It's just a name.
I think we had a bottle. Did
we? it was a box. Yeah.
It was a statue.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a statue. That's in not a bottle. Yeah, exactly. So of course it has nothing to do with what you're carrying. Exactly. Not about
it's about alcoholism, isn't it?
That's what Wildstar's not here.
The fact that we might smash the statue at any given moment has no bearing whatsoever.
Right. Yep. So Wildstar, who was with you last episode, is going to be slightly OD'd as he took some chemical recreation and is not going to be able to wake up for the session, as Eldon cannot join us.
I thought he had rebuilt his drone because he kind of smashed it, getting me out of there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was Mr. Patterson who was with us, so if he's got drugs in his system, oh dear, I must have accidentally dosed him.
Accidentally. So you ended last session holding up in the back of the organic grocers.
We ended last session holed up in the back. Yes. We were not holding up the grocers.
Good distinction, yes.
Yeah. You basically paid through till the afternoon, so you have several hours where you're hiding out and trying to see what the fallout from all this is. Wildstar, before passing out, didn't find anything particular on the news feeds within the hour or so that you arrived. So you're not exactly sure how much heat is on you at the time. You do have someone here that assaulted 3 police officers. So
take that, Lone Star.
Oh, yeah.
I got away. It's all good.
Right. Well, I have no idea who it was.
You're carrying a case with some magical item in it that you have no idea what it does other than it's killed the last 2 people that have been carrying it around.
Well, says Eddie Drood, who is played by Richard, what do you think there, other person who is also in the room with me and would like to introduce their name and character?
Stone Dog, ex-military street samurai.
He says that to everybody he meets.
Played by me, Steven. Yes, I also say that. it took me a while to think of it, but I find it kind of suspicious that Lone Star was there at all. I mean, we were in the Barrens. That was a mighty fast response time.
As a matter of fact, we can assemble a die pool here. Just because you are ex-military and know a little bit of something about this, go ahead and put me together a intelligence hitter. If you've got any skill or distinction that says you're ex-military, you can throw that in.
I have a distinction after my race, ex-military street samurai. What kind of die would that be?
It's a D8.
D8.
Yeah. It's a so D4 if you think it goes against you. So it's a D8 or a D4. This case, it'll go for you.
Okay, I'll let you make that decision for me in this case because I have no idea what the actual circumstances are. So I have a D6, a D8, and a D10. I'm going to roll them.
Mm-hmm. Now, remember, and this is for Katie, our new player as well. Say hello, Katie.
Hi.
You can introduce your character when they run across you. Okay. All right, so you only have to roll 2 dice. You never have to roll more than 2. And you may not want to, but that's up to you. So Stone Dog has rolled a 6, a 3, and a 3.
Obviously, I'm going to take the 6 and the 3 to make a 9, leaving a D10 result. Yeah.
Okay. I should have rolled this before you rolled, but so the basic complication for just an everyday ordinary circumstances is I rolled 2 dice in opposition, which I rolled a 10. So, no.
Not quite.
He doesn't, Stone Dog doesn't quite you know there's something fishy about it, but your training...
I think it's suspicious, but I wasn't trained in city.
Right. I'm going to use red dice. Everybody pick a color, by the way. I'm going to use red for the GM.
I'm going to stick with blue.
Violet.
One of my 500-plus RGB cards.
And Jameis. Say hello, Jameis.
Hello, Jameis.
Hello, Jameis.
Reprising his
Someone
role.
Had to do that. Oh, I've got black.
And you've got black. Okay, very good. So, yeah, Stone Dog, something's fishy about it, but you just can't put a finger specifically on what was wrong with the situation.
Oh. Well, I, the drug-stealing ex-trauma team member, know nothing about magic. Do you know anything about magic, Stone Dog?
Stone Dog, know anything about speaking?
Hey, pay attention, man.
Ah, sorry, I was muted. I only know to shoot it on sight.
Yep,
we should drop it as...
What was a good tactic?
Military training shines through in that result. So it's a hot item. It kills people that zoned it. We should get rid of it as soon as possible.
We don't know that it kills people who owned it.
Coincidentally,
that's what I randomly guessed at. But what do I know about magic? I'm just randomly guessing. We should ask a professional.
You're right. We need at least one more dead body before we can assume enemy action. You want to be it?
If I shoot Mr. Patterson, does that count?
No. He has to die from the coincidence of owning this item. Because after all, happenstance, twice is coincidence, three times is enemy action.
Well, Mr. Patterson is sitting on the couch drooling right now as his mind is out in the internet somewhere.
We should probably leave him out of it.
Well, actually, I know exactly what happened to him. Yeah, this will be fun. All right.
Did you want to draw on his face or something? Now's your chance.
It's too...
Wouldn't be professional.
I don't know. I want him to know that it was me rather than what he's out like that. That's just...
Right. Eddie was here.
No. That's childish.
But I know.
If I had access to the drugs in my van... I have far more interesting things I could do to him. But we'll leave him there for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know... Well, yeah. Let's get a call on Grog, shall we? See if he knows anything about this exciting magical thing that we know.
Hopefully he knows more than us.
He can't know less. Well, I suppose he can.
Be hard.
All right, so Jameis, you get a link show up on your special number.
Yep. All right, well, it's your time. What are you after?
Magical knowledge? What's some weird thing here? Do with you coming down, taking a look at it?
And let's make this easy and say that your character now, Jameis, you should introduce your character.
Apparently my name is Grog, which I've entirely forgotten. I'm a troll, a magician, but would be a bodyguard.
Uh-huh. And you are currently... Katie, introduce yourself and the name of your character.
I'm Katie, and I have Sparks. She's a feisty half-pint of an elf, and she... is kind of an explosive mage.
Right. She blows up.
you happen to be in the same shop at the moment. May even be Katie's shop if she decides to have that shop. If not, just a shop that you both frequent. You've run into each other now and then. Mm-hmm. Right?
It could be my shop.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here with Sparks. I don't know if you've ever met her before, but if you come on round, both of us might be able to puzzle over something.
Spark? Stone Dog looks over to Eddie. What's the word?
Yeah, I'll relay the information. Yeah. Grog's at Spark Shop. I think I know where that. Well, no, actually, I've never been there. I would know cool to go down there, I don't think. Why not Spark?
I know her reputation.
I ping you the address.
Do we go over there, or we think they should come to us?
We should stay on the move.
Alright, yep. Let's spread the damage around as much as we can.
Leave Pedersen behind. And
he's got a decoy for us. He won't have anything, and he wasn't caught there.
Well, the way he looks now, I mean, he could be standing up as one of them mannequins in the store, pointing at...
Come to think of it, in your relationship with Pedersen and Wildstar, he has never stayed submerged this long before. This is a little unusual.
Well, this is Mr. Pedersen. This isn't Wildstar. If it was Wildstar, I'd take a look, but it's Mr. Pedersen.
So, Stone Dog will take a look. His training, medical training isn't extensive as Eddie's, but he's got some.
Okay. Go ahead and make me a roll. You can assemble a pool of what you think could work there. Probably mastermind for the approach, though, as that is the thinking man's approach.
And let's see. I'm guessing this would be intelligence.
Are you any good at hacker?
No, but I do have mastermind because military guy.
There is something else you could find out if you would choose to use hacker instead of mastermind, but I'll leave that choice to you.
No, I'm pretty terrible at hacker. So I'm gonna go with mastermind.
Yeah, problem. Pedersen's our hacker. None of us are hackers.
Let's see. Can I throw in my med kit or no? No, not
really. You're just kind of checking his vitals.
Yeah, ex-military only doesn't really apply in this case. So I got a D6 and a D8 rolling. 5 and 5, 10.
5 and 5. Okay.
Just the way you set the stakes there, Bert.
Yeah, I should have set the stakes first. But the stakes were 8.
Woo!
So, yeah. His vitals are about normal from what you would expect for someone that is jacked in and has been on the internet. But for the role, since you succeeded there, one thing that you do notice is that on his deck, he does have a little, you know, something that monitors his vital signs usually. And that's the first thing you're looking at just to see how things are going. Mm-hmm. And you notice that there is an alert flagged on his keyboard. There is a red... like alert flag blinking on his display. You don't know what it means, but it's something different.
Oh, yeah. Do I know that forcibly jacking out a Decker is bad, or is that bad?
I will say, since you have spent time with combat Deckers, that's bad. Yeah. But it's worse to let them have their brains fried if they're under attack. Now, you don't smell the telltale smell of crispy flesh burning his, you know, frontal lobe out.
Shit, we've been made. So I'm going to dump shock him.
Okay.
God, it's Mr. Patterson's fault again. Oh.
Yeah, you basically pull the plug on Patterson. His body spasms for a bit, and then he goes limp. His vitals return to what you would expect. Respiration, heart rate, everything goes up, but he is out.
He'll live, but we should probably get him someplace safer. This place has probably been compromised. So I'm going to throw him over my shoulder, grab his stuff, and, you know, let's make haste. So I'm going out the back door.
All right.
They don't have a back. Oh well, there's a back door now.
Did they not have a back door? Back window.
They'll have a back door. This one room has a back door.
Some not the front door exit. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, it leads out into the alley by the trash bins. Actually, the door is behind the trash bin, so you wouldn't normally see it. It's kind of hidden. So when you push the door, you kind of push the trash bin out of the way.
So we're exiting. We should head to Sparks. Do we still got the van?
Yeah.
The shot out van.
We had to get here some way.
Good. We're dumping the van.
Yeah.
Yes, the van has a number of bullet holes in it from last session, but then again, looking around this part of the neighborhood, not that uncommon.
Not that uncommon, but was probably seen leaving the scene. So we're going to leave that.
Just going to dump it here.
For now, yes.
All right.
The location's already been compromised, probably. Here. Hold Mr. Patterson between us. We'll act like he's drunk.
You right. guys have done enough shadow runs to also know that you sweep the car clean because mages can use bits of hair, blood, whatever, to use ritual magic to track you. So I am assuming that everyone does this anytime you leave a location. It's pretty much you do
no,
it.
We
you
blow it up it. As we go. It's yeah. standard practice. yeah, I let Sparks know that I've got a contact of mine, Eddie Droog, coming around for some information.
How good is forensic tech at this level?
Forensic magecraft is actually quite good.
Right, so if, say, somebody played in a van and then somebody else said, hey, I cover the van in blood, they would be able to detect the two different types that were in there rather than just...
Not only that, but if the person's still alive, they could trace the person with their blood.
Right. Okay, so you can't cover it up with a blood bomb in that.
But you could destroy it with Clorox.
Actually, could you, like, overload it with different traces? Like you said, a blood bomb with not just two different, but, like, 100 different people?
If you diluted it enough, sure. I mean, even with water. I mean, you could dilute it enough with water so there's not enough of a trace. They need like, basically an ounce or an item. You know, it's not just, like, a speck of blood. They need a little bit. You know, they need a decent sample to be able to track you.
Mm-hmm. And they also have
a fingernail or a little skin flake isn't enough.
So let's hail down a taxi.
Okay. Yeah, there are taxis in this part of town. You're almost on the combat zone, but not quite. I mean, this is a bad part of town, but not so bad that cabbies don't run.
It's probably where I live.
Cabbie stops. It has sporting a few shotgun holes of its own. The little taxi light on the top is half of it's been blown off, so it just says tax now. As an orc cabbie in there, he comes to a screeching stop in front of you, and you got the guy thrown over your shoulder. Doesn't blink an eye. Just, hey, throw him in the back. Alive or dead, I don't care, but he don't go on my seats.
Don't worry.
I'm more than happy. Go run around the back and I'm going off. Yeah.
Throw him in the trunk.
All right. Let's give him an address to take us to and then switch cabs.
All right, so you're going to send Wildstar on his own?
we're going to give him directions to take him to a place and a hefty tip.
All right, yeah, fine.
deliver him to this med facility, this, street doc.
We know one.
Yeah,
you know one downtown.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the one you made contacts with last time.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, and one of my contacts is the X Network or whatever, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. Send him out that way.
Somewhere to dump with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He's glad to take a fare that's unconscious. No problem with that at all. He might even get there.
we take his deck because he'll probably leave that.
And never mind all the cyberware his body has that could be stripped out for cash.
Well, you know, and I'm going to do an intimidate on him, I guess. We'll know if he doesn't make it.
All right. Yeah, you know, he's like, he just shrugged his cheeks. No sheen chummer. You gave me some good cash. He pockets it. He pulls the flag down. It can be off the books, and your friend will get there just fine.
Let's say Marlene. I gave him, like, 500.
Yeah. Yeah, he gives you, he passes some data over to you. He's like, yeah, if you ever need a cab and you're in the area, give me a call.
All right. Got a cabbie contact now. We'll just call him cabbie.
I lean down and whisper in his ear, take the roads with the potholes.
the drunk drive. Gotcha.
Right. And then we go hail down another cab, just in case that one got flagged.
Right. Never take the first one that comes up. Yeah.
Yep. This one rolls up. There's no driver in the seat, but you hear a voice over the intercom. Stop gawking and get in. Meter's running.
Rear cab. All right. Hop in. Yep. Meter's running.
There's a little screen between the two back seats that pops on. There's a dwarf with a paisley shirt and purple tinted glasses on. Where are you going?
We give them the address of Spark's place, I suppose.
All right.
Or, you know, about two streets. A
couple of blocks out. Yeah.
A couple blocks out. All right. Shows up. And he whizzes off. A taxi joins what passes for traffic. And as you're pulling away, you hear some sirens in the distance.
Like they're following us or?
Nope. More like they're coming from further away.
This is Shadowrun world. Could be anything.
Could be anything. Sirens are the background music to life.
What city are you in again?
Seattle.
I will point out, different departments do have different sirens, so can we distinguish which siren it is? Police, fire,
medical. You got the background. It's definitely Lone Star. Yep, you know the squawk.
Good thing we beat feet when we did. Wait until we get out of the cab, and then we start beating more feet.
All right, so, well, eventually you arrive. Not much after you were called there, Grog. About 20 minutes later, you're basically in discussion with a few other practitioners of the trade going over the newest literature that came out. Katie, hermetic magic is very much a science. Like, there are professional papers written, you know, et cetera. It's like the new physics.
Okay.
The other end of it, the shamanistic, deals with the more like witchy stuff and nature stuff. But hermetics are very much like scientists. They're very logical. Everything is formulated.
Yes. Okay.
Scholarly papers are written.
Block transfer computations everywhere.
All right. So you guys are sitting around finishing your conversation. You guys park a couple blocks over. Pay your cabbie. Everybody's got a lifestyle. They have at least a D6, yes?
Mm-hmm. And right. We did get like 5,000 from Topol before he got fried.
Sure. Yep. It's basically pocket money that you're burning through a little bit of.
Mm-hmm.
Couple blocks over, this is a nice neighborhood. You know, manicured lawns, automatic sprinklers. There's a few businesses here and there. Katie, is your shop ran out of your home or is it a separate thing?
It's out of my home. It has its own door, but it's part of my house. Sure.
No problem. Okay, so you got a name for it?
Not yet.
Okay.
Sparks Place.
Just Sparks with a Z.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing. Even though this is 2050, this version of the game of Shadowrun First Edition was written in the 80s. So everything is very 80s, okay?
Okay.
You have the pink mohawks, and you have punk rock is really big, especially in the orc metal bands and such. And yeah, very think 80s. Everything is kind of clunky and loud. Lots of pastels.
The best you can hope for is Blade Runner styling.
All right.
Okay, so you guys arrive. It looks like the place. It's a nice little two-level affair. It looks like the bottom is a store.
Of some kind.
Yep,
what do you sell?
Well, it's got paraphernalia for my fellow magic practitioners and then, I guess, magical stuff and services that I sell to people who want me to blow things up.
Mm-hmm. So, foci, fetishes, books, and paraphernalia.
Fetishes aren't really humanistic. More shamanistic.
But you do have things like, you know, you have to have candles for your circles. You need silver paint once in a while. You need, you know.
And rulers.
Yeah.
Plenty of rulers.
Lots of rulers. Yep.
And pencils and chalk.
Right. And since you're in kind of a nice neighborhood, you probably have like the gift store sort of thing where it's just knickknacks for people that really aren't practitioners but are wannabes. You know?
Yeah.
The Mystic Runes keychain.
The t-shirt. Of All right, so yeah, you guys, this is what you guys are seeing. This is a good neighborhood, so you know that you know, every resident here probably has panic buttons with a arrival time in less than 5 minutes, if necessary. They probably actually have a, it's probably not Lone Star. They may actually have a on-site, their own paid-for police force. These neighborhoods often do.
Mm.
All right. Well, we hustle up the steps, unless Eddie wants to saunter.
Well, just look around, trying to remember where we left the case. Bring with us.
It's strapped to Mr. Patterson.
Oh man, no. I'm sure we have that with us.
I actually assume that your character probably wouldn't let it out of his touch.
Assuming what he suspected.
All right. Yeah. So it has an old fashioned ringer on it. You like that, Kitty? The bell.
<Do-do-ding>.
Ding,
yeah, yeah. Cyber. Bang. Yep. Little bell tinkles as you have a new customer come in. Two, actually.
I turn behind me, lock the door, turn the close sign to closed.
Excuse me? What are you doing?
Bringing you biz.
Your friends are here, Mr. Grog.
Right.
Of course, she doesn't know that yet.
No, but they. Can I help you, gentlemen? Why are you closing my shop?
I sure hope you can help us, Eddie.
Yeah, we got something we'd Eddie? Like you to take a look at. Oh.
I'll watch the door.
You're an expert as well.
I don't think Mr. Grog has even acknowledged that he knows you guys yet.
I just said Eddie.
Yeah.
And he didn't respond.
I've got my eyebrow raised.
So we had a client, and he was trying to sell off the artifacts in this case. I say, holding it up and rattling it. We think it's magical because he got it from a guy who died when he tried to sell it. And our client died when he tried to sell it. So
you
I don't really
here.
Want to sell it. I want to know if it's going to kill me if I do try and sell it. Also, the client's place burned down by fire, so might be general bad luck or something. I don't know. We kind of want to get rid of it.
We decided to bring it here.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, Grog said to come here.
Oh, you know these people, Grog?
Yeah. Well, him I know. I don't know. I've met him putting a stone dog once or twice. Not as much.
Huh. All right. Okay. Well, you said there were other people in my shop?
No. Everyone's gone. It's just it's you guys now.
All right. Would I possibly have maybe a book that might help us?
Well, sure. What it is inside.
Bet you should show us what this thing is.
Yes.
Ignore the Chinese food or whatever it is that's in there. The last guy who had it just dumped everything in there. Whatever.
He wasn't
a very clean man.
He hands over a suitcase, and I don't think anybody cleaned it out, so when you open it, it has well-expired Chinese food just emptied into it, and a small wooden box.
Okay, well, I'm not touching this thing. You open the box.
We've already seen inside the box, haven't we?
Well, there you go.
I thought you just threw it back inside the suitcase, though, unless you...
Whatever. Yeah, all right. I used my cyber arm to open the box because, hey,
just in case.
Yep.
Okay.
Right. So, let's see. Let's have both of you guys give me astral perception roll. So it's an alertness roll along with probably mastermind.
Okay.
And then if any of you have distinctions as being a mages, you can throw in the distinction for being a mage. If you got any particular thing that would help you, a sense.
No. Well, my role as magician, but would be bodyguard, so I suppose that counts. What does distinction count as? D8?
D8. Okay. D8 if it helps, and D4 if you think it doesn't.
Well, I didn't put anything else down, so yep. I'm just not going to do anything, if that's okay.
Yeah, but you can still roll your approach of mastermind and the attribute of alertness, though. If you, yeah, definitely roll those two dice.
Okay.
You don't have to roll anything else.
All right.
Ooh, that's an 11. I don't know what the stakes are, but that's an 11.
I got a 10.
All right, so stakes were 4, and I rolled a 1. Okay, so both of you beat it. Now here's what can happen with the 1. You guys can buy my 1 that I rolled with one of your plot points if you wish. In so doing, it really isn't going to help you a lot right now. Buying one of my ones will allow you to step down a complication. What else does it do?
Well, it also gives us an asset in relation to the scene. So having an asset in relation to
you can turn it into you can turn it into a D6 asset on the scene if you wish. Well, but it does cost
the object. The object, yeah. Mm-hmm. Something related to the object gives us a D6 related to the object, which could be handy considering that we are probably going to be dealing with this thing for a while.
Right. Remember, you only start with one plot point, though, so you may or may not want to buy it.
You could spend yours.
Oh, yeah, this is the other thing that changed. When I roll a 1, the first person who gets to decide if they want to buy it or not are the people that rolled, but everyone else can if they wish. Anyone can buy the 1 for me. You don't have to even be in the same scene.
Oh, and we both beat it by 5, so does that mean we both big game hero dice?
Yes, and the largest die rolled is a D6, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pull... I'll just put one top and bottom there. So there are 4 of you. So we'll say, Jameis, you're the top top right. Katie, you're the bottom right.
Let's add a quick label. Right?
Yeah, we can do that. Okay, so here's what you learn. Let's see. Basically, it's a small piece of statue that is resting on some silk that has thaumaturgical writing kind of sewn into it. Any odd symbols and such. Let's see. Astral perception. Okay. The patterns on the cloth and on the box itself are a hermetic-style magical structure. It is a containment field of some sort.
All right, definitely don't touch it.
Yep. The power of the spell seems to be focused inward.
Oh, it's holding something in.
Is it my soul? Does it take my soul? Is it holding my soul?
Quite possibly. It's an idol. It's carved from a deep red stone. It's no one's touched it yet. You're just looking at it. It's vaguely demonic looking with glowing eyes and is clutching... to its body, a small pinkish globe. There are patterns and symbols that cover it, which do not resemble the patterns and symbols on the silk cloth or the box. Also, the idol has been handled often. It's worn nearly smooth in places, so the detailing's all been, you know, it looks like it's been rubbed very, like, almost like a worry stone, where someone would rub it for... good luck or for tension relief, etc. Most of the detailing has been rubbed off.
Okay.
So that's what you both get.
Is it safe to get rid of it? Or am I going to die?
I wouldn't say it's safe to take it out of the box.
Okay.
All I'm saying is don't touch it.
Mr. Drew did, in fact, handle it.
Did I? Okay. Yeah.
Not that you have to tell anyone that, but just remember.
I don't remember that I did, but I'll trust your words.
And you said that the letters on the pillow or whatever is the, was it hermetic?
Yes.
Letters do we know what they mean, or is that just indicating that there's a containment spell?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what you know that they mean, that it is some sort of containment spell focused inwards into the box. Instead of it protecting the box, it seems to be protecting something from being released from the box.
It's a cage, okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then we don't know what the other symbols on the thing are.
No, no. Mostly because they're so worn. That you really can't make out any of the full symbols. But they're definitely of a different type. They're not hermetic.
Can I
we recognize them as shamanistic? Because we probably would recognize them.
No, not really.
Okay.
Can we take, like, I don't know, a stick or something and turn it over? I don't want to touch it.
You need a poking stick for this. Yeah, sure. I'm sure that you have something around that will work just fine. Perhaps a feather duster that you can and flip it. It doesn't seem to react. The back is just as worn as the front. No extra detail there.
Okay.
Standard magic equipment poking stick.
Yes. All right. Well, have either of you touched this?
I might have done. As in, I can't remember what I did, but yeah, all right.
All right. Can I, like, because the magic kind of said that we could see people's
auras, yeah,
auras and stuff. Can we read his aura to see if it tells us anything?
Yeah, easy enough. He's got some cyber, so there are parts of him that are dead to you, but otherwise, he looks like a normal, healthy person. He may smoke too much. Okay. May have the beginnings of cancer there, but that's easily curable now.
All right, well,
but otherwise, yeah, it doesn't seem any worse to wear.
Can I tell if there's a connection between him and the object?
You don't see one. No, it doesn't look like there is any.
All right, well, what do you think?
Something else that you would likely know, though, from your practices, though, that if he is not awakened, if he doesn't have any magical talent, it may not affect him, but it may affect someone that's more open to these things.
Okay. Well, I'm still not touching it. Well, we could either ask someone else, or we could do experiments on it. We are scientists, after all.
Your book with it in there? 101 horrible statues or something?
Steven, who do you have as your number one contact?
I only have the one contact now. That's, and since I'm not going to retcon anything, that's Lone Star Guy.
Okay, this is perfect then. You basically get an email pop up on your system there.
Can I link that up to my smart goggles?
Sure.
Bloop. See what it says.
Yep. It's basically it's your friend who's still working for Lone Star. This number is basically an emergency, and it says you got to move, and I mean now. Mr. Blue's about to pay you a special visit. Get out, but don't come here. You've attracted some heavy flies, and I don't need that kind of trouble. I'll see you in a couple of days if you live that long.
Damn. I reply, LOL.
There is no reply back.
So, we've been made. Get ready to move. There a back door? I start heading towards the back anyway.
What?
Wait, what have you brought to my shop?
Lone Star, move! Start snapping at him.
Stop putting it back in the horrible...
What would Lone Star be after this?
No idea.
No idea.
We're too busy running to figure that out.
I got an idea. Let's give it to them. I don't want Lone Star after me.
Well, you might not have a choice now. So, move it or lose it. So, Eddie, you know, I assume Eddie's packing it up.
Yeah.
And Stone Dog's just charging through towards the back. Or is this the back? I'm not entirely sure.
It's like a room off of my house that has a door to my house and a door to the street.
Hmm. Go ahead.
Can we ever peek out the window and just see if there's any sign of Lone Star coming this way or something? Was it just...
Well, Mr. Grog, you take a look out the window, and in fact, you do see several Lone Star patrol cars coming up with lights off, running quiet, coming down the street. There are several heavily armed and armored cops that have, you know, one hand on the following car. And they're walking alongside it. These cars have been kitted up with big, the cattle prodder and barrier breaker fronts. You know, the big metal ends on the front of the car so they can smash through a house.
You are going to destroy my house. Get out, get out, get out. Yep. Go through the kitchen, out the back door. Get
it
out.
It looks like they're setting up. You know, they're trying to be very quiet, and they're trying to set up.
Okay, I'm going to try and do something here, because it's what I do, and it's not going to work, but let's try it anyway. I am going to create an image of Drew carrying the box, and he's going to run out the front door and off up the street. It's not going to work for many reasons, not the least of which because of this damn cyber arm. Makes it hard to draw a proper picture of him.
Well, you know, they may not have any mages with them. All right, you are going to make an illusion, basically.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. Illusion.
I'm going to think a D10 illusion. So it's going to be... That's another reason why it's going to be tricky.
Yeah. Illusion is in the grifter role.
Yes. Okay. Intelligence grifter.
Yep. You develop your pool there, and you want to do it at what force level?
D10.
D10. Okay, so I'm adding... Let me do my stakes. Let me roll my stakes here. D10 because the force level, these are seasoned cops looking for some particular people. So it's going to be, I'll give them a D8 difficulty and the standard D6. So they have, well, there's a 1 if you want to buy it. Woo. Otherwise, the stakes are set at a 10.
Now, if I buy that 1, I can't use it for this particular, can I use it for this role?
You can hang on to it and use it for another role if you want.
Okay. I'm going to buy that then.
Okay.
Brings me down to 0. So that's 2d10. And I do have a big damn dice if I need it.
Yes.
All I've got is 2d10. I've got nothing else I can throw in there. On the other hand, I've got no effect die. But I do have a 13.
Woo. Okay. You don't need an effect die.
Remember, the effect die is the D10
D10 you set it for. Right.
Yep.
Okay, so it's 13. It beats the score. And so you, and a very good illusion of Mr. Drood opens the front door. Well, someone opens the front door for it.
Yeah. Oh, well, because that's my illusion. Yeah.
And it reacts to seeing the police on the street.
Stay out!
And it starts running down the street to the sounds of gunfire.
And we get the GTFO in the back door.
Yeah.
And you did that at Force D10, is that correct?
Yep.
All right, so...
I wanted it to be a fairly good illusion.
Okay, so you've got a D10 asset on the board then of a fake Eddie Drood. It is drawing fire.
Eddie, you're impervious to gunfire.
So the bullets just pass straight through you. It's amazing.
Right. So yeah, what do you guys do now? The police. The car is basically trying to run down Drood, and the 10 officers are running behind it, shooting.
Is Sparks coming with us? As we've already said, we're going out the back.
Yeah, that's up to her. I'm not
waiting
around.
I know. I'm. Richard is asking if Sparks is running. Eddie's character is running.
Well, two officers do break off, and they seem to be coming to the house to secure it.
Right. As has been said several times, we're going out the back. I am merely asking if Sparks is coming with us or not.
No, I'm going to stay and protect my house.
Right. See?
There you go. Okay. All right. So you got to go out through her house and out a back door from her house.
Right.
Diving through a window. Open.
Now, do I have to stay in line of sight of Drew to keep it up, or is it in line of the illusion of Drew to keep it up, or?
You do have to keep up the concentration.
So I'll be staying in the store as well.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's all right. They're not after either of us, so.
Okay, good enough. There is a polite knock on your door as the sirens go down the street.
I am going to answer the door with a very irritated look on my face.
Okay, there are two armed and armored police, Lone Star police out front. They have the protective helmets on with the visors down. But there, one of them flips it up and is very deferential and says, "Ma'am, we have two armed and dangerous men that we have reports are in this area. One of them was just seen fleeing your establishment." He looks at the clothes sign. "Are you okay?"
Yes, I got rid of that hooligan. Oh my goodness. Let me tell you what, they came into my shop and I'm just going to go off on this rant about how inconvenient they were and how rude and...
Sounds good. So you're attempting to basically bluff them. That sounds good. Let's have a probably, willpower, by the way, you're making a sound. So you're, it could be intelligence, but willpower seems to be more.
Willpower I think it's, would be used
it's
for this.
More willpower. Yeah. I'm just.
Yep. And then grifter, because that is the lying.
That's not very good. Can I add in the fact that I'm an elf and they're charismatic?
Yes, you can. You can use that distinction just fine. Or you can even use the fact that you're feisty for your distinction. So, you know, you're playing up the wounded shop owner that had to, you know, why weren't you doing your job? I had to throw this hooligan out myself.
Okay. Just a quick question on the distinctions. Do those come from my dice points or are those the D8 thing that was talked
distinctions
about?
Distinctions are
D8s. D8, so that doesn't count for my dice costs. Okay. Right, so
I am rolling the stakes. He got a 6. He is a D8 law enforcement officer. D6 is the basic, so you need to beat a 6.
You got a good chance.
Mm-hmm. Plenty. Either way I go. So how do I have to separate? Nice. I pick 2, right?
You pick 2 for your total. It just needs to beat theirs. Of course, yeah. If you get it even higher, if you get it 5 or more higher, you get something special. The effect die might be, in this case, the effect die doesn't really matter. It's inconsequential. So you could choose the D4 for that.
Okay, well, I will do that. And I'll do this. What is that?
Yep. Big damn hero die, I think.
Big
it was.
Damn hero die. Yeah. So you have 2 now. You have a D8 and a D6 over there to use. And he's like, we're very sorry, man. We don't have the contract to patrol your area. Very, very sorry to have bothered you. Noah, he looks and sees Mr. Grog there. Your customers are fine. They didn't hold you up or anything. These men are armed and dangerous, ma'am.
Well.
I'm just staring out the window at the commotion. That's all I'm doing.
They were a nuisance, but they didn't bother us, and I got rid of them. I'm starting to calm down. We're
all right,
fine.
All right. Well, if they happen to come back by and basically they beam you over contact information, these guys assaulted some officers, and they're... We want them in for questioning. If they happen to come back by again, if you could discreetly send a message out to us, we'll be back through. He gives you the description of Drood and of Stone Dog and of one person you haven't met yet. If you see them in the neighborhood, again, ma'am, these are dangerous individuals. Very, very glad that you weren't injured. He's like, I'll be going now.
Yeah,
steps out.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys on the back street, there's a lot of commotion to the front. They still seem to be in pursuit of the Phantom Druid. What are you guys trying to do?
Evade capture.
How do you do that?
Well, we've evacuated the premises, so Stone Dog's leading Eddie combat style, ducking low around cover, checking his corners, moving to the next cover, and repeating down the street.
Okay, well, like I said, it's a very nice manicured neighborhood, so they do have trees, but there's not really a lot to hide around otherwise.
Well,
you
know,
are
like
drawing
cars
attention from people who are looking out of their doors now to see all the commotion. And you're making yourself kind of conspicuous by ducking down behind cars and hiding behind trees.
Well, I have to make sure the coast is clear before I do that. So, I mean, if I succeed, I don't have anybody spot me. If I fail, I'm extra conspicuous.
This is downtown suburbia with lots of people that have nothing better to do than to nose and snoop around through their windows with high power binoculars. So we're setting the stakes at 7.
All right. Do you want rolls from each of us or just me?
Well, you're the only one who said you're kind of sneaking around. What's Mr. Drew doing?
I know nothing about what's going on here, so I assume he knows what he's doing. So I'm just going to copy his actions, even though I've got no real skill at it.
Okay. Well, then you can roll. Actually, your roll can work for both of you then, with Richard basically tagging along. Richard, you could give him a die if you have anything that you think might help. Just even looking out for him to tell him, nope, that there's somebody in the window with binoculars over there.
No, I got nothing.
Okay.
Nothing that would...
Would the D10 illusionary druid come into all this?
Yeah. You can take that D10 into your pool. Or don't take it from the screen, but you can add a D10 because of the distraction that's going on.
Yeah.
It's drawing a lot of people's attention away from you. Again, you don't have to take it, but you can take it.
Now I'm thinking, should I just take it instead of one way? No, I can't do that. I need my approach and my...
Yeah, you have to roll a minimum of 2 dice.
Yeah. Okay,
take it as well as the other dice.
I think I will not take it at this time.
Okay.
Okay.
So, what would you have me use for my approach for this? Mastermind or hitter?
This is probably thief because you're sneaking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Would my, my talent of evasion work for this, or?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So I have, a D6 in thief, and I assume this is agility?
Yes.
All right.
Well, you can make the case for alertness, as you're kind of looking out and diving behind cover. I would take that case if you want to make it.
All right. I will not make that case. Right. Okay, cross your fingers, folks. Oh no!
It's been a little slow, so I don't see your roll yet. What did you make?
117.
Oh my god! All right. Well, I take one plot point. I will take both of the ones, and I'm going to step it up to a D8 complication that I'm going to set on the screen. But your 7 did not raise the stakes. So you're seen. And since you don't have any dice left in your pool to add, there's really nothing else you can do about it. You have no big damn hero dice that you could add.
Nope.
Yep.
There's a dog that I did not notice.
There you go. Starts yipping and drawing people's attention to you.
Damn it. We've been made again. So
there's a there's a complication of spotted.
Again, walking casually now that we're out of the exact scene.
Mm-hmm. Mechanically, could Stephen have spent a point and added the fake druid dice there?
No.
To reroll everything?
No. You have to pull your whole dice roll before you roll it, except for a big damn hero dice.
I thought part of it was that you could spend a point to... add stuff afterwards. No. Or has that's a changed rule?
Yeah. You can't add anything afterwards unless you have a big damn hero dice. It all has to be collected in your pool before you roll.
I think you have to make your pool before you roll, but you can spend the plot point to add to your pool.
Right.
From
but
your...
previously, there was another way to do it.
If you did not add it to your pool before you roll, you cannot add it afterwards.
You can add it to your total. If you roll it, can you spend the plot point to increase your total?
Well, you have nothing to increase your total.
Well, no, but hypothetically.
Yeah, if you had an extra die on the screen, sure. But you don't, because you rolled ones on the other two die. So, nothing to add.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, so a dog starts barking, which draws attention. People start throwing open their corners. You got a plot point for that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. So I got 2 now. Woo! I'll take it. Walking casually now.
Attention is drawn. The dog starts barking, and it's enough that Some of the law enforcement officers in the back start looking in, you know, see what's going on. They haven't spotted you yet, but they're heading this way to see what the commotion is.
Eddie, want to make a play at this point?
There are plenty of cars around.
Eddie, really got nothing he could do right now.
Worst shadow runners ever.
Or the best. I'm trying to think this through. How did they maybe track us?
That is a question.
So I'm thinking that. Do I still think this is fishy at all? Because, you know,
I
they're
look up.
Hot on our heels.
Yep.
We got eyes in the sky sort of thing.
There are drones flying above. Well, in the distance, but there are drones above. Of course,
right.
In this neighborhood, that's not uncommon.
Yeah.
Now we do the nonchalantly walking down the street roll.
All right, so now you're going to try and play it cool.
People.
All right. So you're trying to just walk away from the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There are some people out and about. You join a crowd of people that just are just kind of looking around to see what all the police are doing. All right. So you try to get away into the crowd. All right. Let's see. How do I want to frame this? Yeah, this is going to be a grifter role for sure. Drew, are you following along with this, trying to get lost in the crowd?
Yeah,
you're just another person here.
I figure he knows what he's doing, even if he did get spotted by that dog. So I'm just tagging along with him for now.
That's why they have dogs. They're good at spotting people.
Good enough. Assemble a pool again, and if Mr. Drood wants to give you his grifter die or his intelligence or alertness die, either one, you can roll for the both of you.
You want to do this? Because I am going to bet your alertness, intelligence, and grifter are all better than mine.
I'm not certain I would take that bet.
Are yours all D6s?
No. Okay.
Maybe I win the bet.
Yeah. All right. I'm guessing this is going to be social to blend in. Rather
yes.
Than...
Mm-hmm.
So
I can maybe add to his die my evasion.
Yeah. Yeah. You can donate one die if it makes sense.
We could actually add in, we're human. This is a human neighborhood, or,
no,
you know.
No, it's not specifically just human. It's just a wealthier neighborhood. So you're going to find elves and dwarf here, but you're not going to find trolls or orcs for the most part.
But still, we wouldn't stick out because we're not like a troll or anything.
It's more how you're dressed. You both have, do either one of you have a lifestyle of a D8?
No.
No.
And then both of you are dressed very shabby for this area.
More distinct than anything else. Mine's army surplus.
I will say that you could use human for a bonus simply because, you know, you don't see too many metahumans here. But I could also say if you want to throw in a D4 as a negative quality because you're dressed down for the neighborhood, you could do that if you wanted.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm all for it. But I leave the rolling to Richard.
You've still got illusionary dream
right,
to you or something
yeah.
to if you want to.
Yep.
Yeah, might be worth.
Well, while you're thinking of it, I'm going to go ahead and roll up the stakes for you here. We're going to use the D8 spotted as you had some attention drawn to you. So I'm rolling 2D8 and a D6, and it's rolling. Only a 6, so not hard to beat.
I already... Gonna tap the fake druid while we're there. And, what did you say? Alertness and grifter?
Yeah.
And
or you can use intelligence and grifter if you want. Either one.
Either way, same role. Yeah. And I will tap the, hey, we stand out because we're dressing horribly at the same time.
The D4, so take a plot point.
Yeah.
And if you want fake druid, you can throw it in there for free.
Yeah, that's what we're tapping, and we'll see what we can get. Woo! That kind of works out.
right. It hasn't shown up for me yet, so what did you get? Oh,
4388. So, yeah.
And you only have to beat a 6.
Yeah, I've got a D8 for you for a big damn hero roll. I'll put you down there, Richard.
Oh, you beat it by 10.
Well, it's every 5.
So yeah. I could...
16 so versus 6.
Well, 16, yeah.
Because you've got 2 8s.
That would work.
Yep. You only ever get one big damn hero die, sorry. The multiples of 5 just take out multiple opponents.
Right, okay.
So yeah, a single D6 or some description is what you
So you get a D8 big damn hero die over here.
A D8, okay.
Yeah, because that was the largest die in the pool I rolled against you.
Alright. Oh, there we go. And yeah. Oh, you're gonna do it that way. Fine.
Yeah, I'm just gonna pull it off the side of the screen here. Okay, right. So yeah, you guys blend in. No one seems to really care too much about how you're dressed. There are some shops in this area, so you know, maybe you're just out spending a little bit more than you should on the credit.
We're doing the opposite of slumming.
Right. and so you guys are able to melt off into the crowd. So what is your game plan? You seem to be free of Lone Star for the moment.
You need to run to cover.
I don't know. No idea. I mean,
all right. Well, let's.
A few drug dealers, but I think they would probably turn us in rather than.
I'm going to ping through a message over the link to say, "Is there a tracker in the box?"
Let's go look for it. We're going to have to search the box, and Stone Dog's going to do that as soon as we're like. Going to turn into an alley or something.
Okay. Alleys in this neighborhood are actually pretty clean, so sure, you find an alley between a couple of storefronts. It doesn't mean you're going to have to touch the statue to be able to really go through it, though.
It's in the box, so we look at the briefcase.
Yeah, we're looking at the briefcase first.
Briefcase is clean.
Well, actually, how do we know it's clean? I mean, what is it within the fiction here? How do we scan for trackers? Or are we just looking for a big beeping red thing?
You'd probably just, you know, take it apart and just see if there's anything that sticks out. Remember, miniaturization is not a really big thing.
Oh, no, 80s.
Yeah, 80s is kind of clunky.
Yeah.
Yes. I pull out my cell phone and club somebody to death.
Pretty much.
So checking the seams, it's clean. It doesn't look like it's been cut apart. The cuffs on it are clean. Stone Dog is going to open up the box and see if there's anything in it.
Okay, well, you know what's in it. You want to rifle around the box, remove the statue, look in all the nooks and crannies.
Yes, but he's going to see if he can't, you know, just open the box and dump it out and then rifle through the box.
That's fine. Yeah, you can do that. The box is a nice piece of woodwork with the joints are all dovetailed. There's not really any place it could hide on the box. The silk cloth itself, nothing to hide there. The statue, I mean, unless it's baked inside, nothing obvious on the outside.
Nothing mechanical. They must be tracking it mystically. Think it's a beacon?
Even if they're tracking it, I don't know.
Would that be something that we would have been able to pick up on if it was broadcasting magically?
Once again, the magic that was on it was all focused inward. So,
okay. Yeah,
nothing else tethered to it outside.
Okay. Would I know if they could, like, track my phone or anything?
Well, since you have a fake sin, unless they knew who you're—I mean, of course they know. They probably know exactly who you are from your military record, but you know they wouldn't have your fake ID, as far as you know. maybe your contact rolled on you and gave them everything. Who knows?
Don't worry, I'll still buy them a beer.
Poisoned beer.
You gotta forgive these sort of things if you want to maintain your contacts. It's just when they do it twice that you break a leg or something. What kind of lid is on the box? Does it, like, come completely off or just,
It comes completely off.
Use the lid to, put the back in. Scoop it back in.
All right, fair enough. Let's break over to the house. Your druid illusion is going, is long since passed where you can keep track of it down the street. You've let it go.
And they've used it, so it's pretty much counts as done. I remember there was a game I was playing. We were in this large empty warehouse. In the middle of it was an old guy in a wheelchair. And we got a 10-foot pole just to prod the guy with because we were so paranoid of it. And we were right to because it was a victim illusion, but still, it just seemed ridiculous.
The Lone Star police officers and vehicles have passed by. All the neighbors are out kind of looking around.
Right. I don't... I want to go. Oh no, I'll say this out loud. I might actually get a sense around the area just to see if they're tracking them somewhere mystically.
Okay.
See what. See if there's some spirits following them or something.
Okay. So you want to go astral and take a look around?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead and give me an alertness.
Oh dear.
And probably a mastermind for that.
Oh dear.
This is just to pick up anything. You go astral without taking any kind of role at all.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just sort of saying if there's any particular aspect or anything I want to pick on.
68, so...
Oh, really?
There's a roll. I rolled a 1. If
I don't have any points, so someone else wants to pick that up. Yeah. I'm trying to remember where I got that D8 from.
What does the 1 do for us again?
Right now, not a lot, because there's nothing really on the board that's detrimental to you at the moment. If you buy it with a plot point, you can step down a complication that's on the board, like we had a D8 spotted earlier.
Yeah.
If I had rolled a 1, someone could have stepped it down to a D6. If it stepped down from a D6, it's just gone. It's just removed from the board, so it removes a complication.
Okay.
If you buy it for me now, basically, you can create an asset for the scene that might help you with something. And it will step up one, so it'll go to a D8. Since you can normally just spend a plot point and create an asset, doing it this way, it'll allow it to be a little bit better. But not a lot of other help for you at the moment.
All right.
I'm thinking I might use that D8 I got before, but I can't remember where from.
Big damn hero roll, I think.
No, it was something else. I bought a plot point. Mm-hmm. I bought it with a plot point, but I don't remember what the roll was that got it to me.
I'm not going to spend a plot point on a D6, maybe a D8. I'm greedy.
You don't buy the die type that the one is rolled on.
Mm.
You just buy the 1.
Okay. Can I hold on to it, or?
You can if there's nothing that you can create on the scene at the moment, but it only lasts for one scene.
So at the end of the scene, it would go away, or
When you choose to use it, it will only last for one scene.
Okay. And if I had 2 of them, would it last the entire game, or?
No.
Just checking.
If you spend 2 plot points on an asset when you create it, it will last for the whole game. Or I suppose if you buy one of mine and you spend one of your own, it could last for the whole game as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to use that D8 asset I got, which has something to do with tracking with Drew turning up in the statue and something. I can't remember what it was.
No, that's fine.
You
can state what it is now if you want.
Yeah.
So you're going to use it to see if Drew's being tracked?
Yeah, it's something to do with this attraction and tracking and
sure.
Basically sort of going, give me magical goggle lenses to sort of get a better idea of the picture.
All right. Yeah.
Boom! Have a 1.
All right.
But I still beat you.
Yes, you did. Okay, so...
you get a complication die.
Lone Star does have some wage mages about that are also astrally perceiving the area. So you can wave at each other there. But nothing else is really active. It looks like they were there in case Mr. Drood and company had their own mage, apparently. Their backup.
Okay.
Right, so I'm going to take your 1, which is a D6, and I'm going to put it over here for a later complication.
And can I pop over to where Droog is at the moment and just sort of see if there's anything around him at the moment?
Yep. Katie, when a mage goes astral, basically they can see into the astral plane is where all magic takes place, right? It also is basically the speed of thought. So when you go astral, you move incredibly fast. So you can cover vast different distances, but your body's left behind. Okay. So it's often good to leave someone behind to guard your body when you go astral. As a matter of fact, Grog there just sat down in a chair and went.
I did say to Sparks that I'm going to have a look around astrally.
All right. Well, I'll just be fussing around my shop. Right. Still kind of peeved.
Some of the neighbors come to the door to make sure you're okay.
Yes, yes.
I saw the police come to the door.
Yes, yes. It's just hooligans.
This neighborhood, I swear. The property values, they're just dropping every week.
Oh, my goodness.
And by the way, I hate to bring it up, but, you know, during the last conference, the gnome you've got in the yard over there, the Homeowners Association really frowns on statuaries. It's just a little reminder.
I'll play a little bit of lightning in my fingers. Really? It bothers you, babe?
Have a good day.
It's not a statue.
If there's nothing exciting astrally about where Drew and Co. are at the moment, then I'll just come back.
They seem to be hanging out in an alleyway. They have opened the box. You can definitely see the statue in astral. It has a presence to it, but there doesn't seem to be anything attached to it that's tracking it.
Okay. I don't know. They've just got really good. They've got someone following them, but I don't know what.
Actually, in the astral, it's quite bright. It'd be hard to miss if you were in the general area of it.
Does it remain bright when I put it back in the box?
No. Yeah, once it's laid back in its little cushion, it's got the protective spells on it. It's not. Yeah, it just goes away.
Right. I don't know. They're being tracked by plot. That's what's tracking them.
So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to put it down on the ground. The box with the briefcase, or the briefcase with the box in it, even, and then just walk away and see how bad.
All right,
you fall over dead.
Maybe I do.
All right. You drop. You just leave it in the alleyway. You walk away. As you are walking down the streets, you guys pass by a shop that's got a couple of video displays in the window. And there's a news report going on that's showing...
How far away are we getting from this? Because I am doing this to test whether I am going to collapse.
Turn the corner. You just turn the corner.
So, you're further fine. Away than our client.
Topol got.
Yeah. Great. Sure. You're a few feet further than what you estimate he got.
Okay. Nope, we're not dead yet.
Right. So you turn the corner, and this happens to be a store that's an entertainment area, right? And so there's some people looking through the windows, just seeing what's on the TV right now. And there's breaking news going across the screen. It shows a picture of Stone Dog with a Lone Star officer in a chokehold as he fends off two more. and an announcer voice in the background, breaking news. We have three armed and dangerous individuals that are wanted by Lone Star for questioning. It shows Stone Dog very clearly wrestling these cops and throwing them into one another as he makes his escape. There is an image of Drood, but it's not very good. You basically see him from his back view. You hear his voice. You actually hear him call out. Look up Wildstar.
I find this a little bit suspicious, but I turn to Eddie and say, we'll need this for my highlight reel.
Some of the guys that are looking through the window kind of look up at you, Stone Dog.
I give them the nod.
They back away. Slowly, slowly, faster.
So,
worst Shadowrunners ever.
Hey, I got a reputation now. That's awesome.
If these individuals are seen, please do not attempt contact or to subdue them on your own. Please call Lone Star at this number for special agent. Excuse me. There is a name that goes behind this.
Mr. Blue.
Agent Grissom.
Grissom.
Yes, and it gives a link number for Agent Grissom.
So I'm going to... turn to Eddie and say, Eddie, if you want to split at this point, no Sheen. You're free and clear. I can take it from here if you don't want to stick around. as I head into the store.
So we could have got some money for tuning them in? Damn.
Didn't say anything about money, just that they were wanted for questioning.
And I purchased essentially a burner phone.
Okay. You do so. Since there are no complications on the board right now, you know, you've got one of those faces.
Yes, there are.
The clerk, there is. What's on the board?
You brought one.
Oh, I've got one. Yeah, never mind. I will bring this one into play. There is a D6 complication that you've been on the news on the board. So, yeah, you're attempting to buy
a burner phone.
Okay.
Eddie, you want to declare what you're doing before I go through with this? Or since I said, you know, it's cool if you run.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about giving you the thumbs up, but honestly, I'm thinking about just going and talking to Lone Star. I mean,
well, that's
not the smartest move, but yeah.
Well, that's actually why I'm buying the burner phone. I'm going to call the number.
All right. I'll wait with you then. That's fine.
All right. Yeah, you get the idea of the clerk. He's very frightened when you buy the phone, but he's you know, maintaining cool. He sells it to you.
I say, hey, so, and then I say, what was that number that they asked us to call?
He just recites 5539.
Yeah, all right, thanks. And you know, I call the number. I'm like, chill, man. I wave him off after paying. And I leave the store.
All right, on the phone. You get a recording. It says Agent Grissom is with other calls. Please hold the line.
I'm the man that you're looking for.
Oh, you say that on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a few clicks, and on the other end of the phone it says, hello. Voice recognition says you're a man that I should need to talk to. Been looking for you.
Yeah. Interesting tidbit. You know, you think I can get a copy of that? Well, nah, I definitely can get a copy of that on my own. Your boys kind of messed that up a little bit.
Yeah, of course they did.
Hmm. So, you want the box?
Box?
Hmm, box.
He's silent for a moment. He says, I want you to come in, and we have some questions to ask. You, by my locations here, he's on the phone, you know, the map of where you are shows up on the screen. It's like, 4 blocks away is a precinct. Turn yourself in. This will go really easy on you. I just have some questions.
Well, that seems reasonable. Mind calling off the heat for the moment?
If you show up in the next 5 minutes.
Make it 15. I need to go retrieve the thing.
Pauses for a moment and it says, all right.
Put it your way.
15 minutes. At 16 minutes, a tactical strike is going to be sent to that location.
Sure, that seems reasonable. So, you know, I hang up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, before the get, let's say I haven't actually walked out. I smashed the phone. That's why I bought it.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, phone traces actually work automatically. That's how phones work.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned to Eddie. Should we bring them the box or leave it hidden as a leverage?
Did they ask for it?
Not necessarily, no. They want questions answered.
Then I don't think we bring it. I don't particularly want it either.
We could get rid of it at the same time.
If leaving it behind means that places I go accidentally burn down, I mean, going to the police station sounds pretty good.
So, what's your vote? Bring it with us or leave it behind?
Leave it behind.
Mm.
If they're not asking about it, leave it.
I go back, get the suitcase, but leave the box.
Okay.
Well, I hide it in like a garbage can or something.
Okay, so you're going to hide the box in like a garbage can. All right.
Mm-hmm. Is the garbage can full, indicating that it would be garbage day?
No, it looks like it was recently emptied.
Okay.
There's still garbage in it, but far from full.
So I do that. I tell Eddie to call Grog and inform him of the location of the box, just in case. And relay the information. He didn't want you. He's getting me. Good deal?
You're planning on going in on your own?
I didn't say you were part of the bargain.
But they're going to be looking for me anyway.
Well, up to you. But at least relay the information to Grog first.
Sure.
All right. So, strolling over to the police station.
Okay. We'll pause with you for a moment. And what's Mr. Drew doing?
Bing! X marks the spot, says Kip's Grog. No, I stay out of it. I don't go into the Lone Star. If he's made a deal to hand himself over for something, then...
Like I said, I didn't include you in the deal.
Well, exactly, and that's what I'm... If he hasn't... I assume he knows what he's doing, so... And he's dealt with people before and knows how to make deals in hostile situations like that. So, right. Assume he knows what he's doing.
So what does Mr. Drew do?
Go somewhere else, somewhere he can lose himself, really.
Okay. Yep. Back into part of town which you're more familiar with, or a place that you're not often seen?
No, a place I'm more familiar with.
More familiar with. Okay. Yep. Good enough.
Ah, dang. Forgot to do something.
All right. So you sent Grog a communication.
Yep. All right. Remember, Stephen, if you really need to get it later, you can always do a callback.
It's not that important. I was just going to hand it.
If you need it later.
Well, it's just I'm going to lose my gun. Especially since I reminded Bert of it.
And, all right. So what are you doing about things for Grog and Sparks?
Eddie just sent me this map saying X marks the spot. I assume he dumped a box, which sounds good. Just leave it there, I think. What do you say?
Boy, you're not curious about what the containment spell is holding? I mean,
it's what would happen if the containment spell wasn't holding it is what I'm more concerned about.
Well, are you concerned that someone else might unlock the containment spell?
Well, if I'm not there, it's not going to bother me, is it?
Well, I just think it would be interesting to know what's in it.
Fine, if you want, we can go and get it, or I can go and get it.
Alright, well, my shop's already closed, thanks to those people. Might as well just leave the sign turned. We'll go get it.
Alright. I realize it's where I saw them before, so I can get there fairly easily.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in fact, mark the spot. He left the box there. Just the box, the briefcase is being taken. Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's what you guys decided?
Really? Right, so, I could have wiped it off first. Look at this old Chinese food.
You know what? I'm going to put my gun in the briefcase for the moment.
Okay.
Since they're going to take it off me anyway.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's just deal with that real quick. So you make it under the wire. It takes almost 13 minutes to make it to the precinct.
That's why I asked for more time. It's 4 blocks in 5 minutes. God, I'm not going to run.
Outside are several armed officers that they don't have their guns drawn, but they've got their hands nearby. As you do the walk of shame inside.
I do no such thing. I just stroll, amble. I'm ambling.
You walk in, four officers follow behind you. No one has laid a hand on you yet.
I offer one of them the case.
Okay, one of them takes the case. And just holds on to it. All right, so you walk in, and Grissom's standing there, and they showed his picture on the video, so you know what he looks like. And he says, "All right, good. We got a conference room cleared. Got a few questions for you. Book 'em, guys.
You want to do the whole cuff thing?
I don't think we'll need it. Do you? You going to be a problem for us?"
He shrugs.
He uses your real name and your rank, whatever you made it in the military.
Ebenezer Gregor Steinbeck. Okay. Probably a sergeant of some kind.
Sergeant Steinbeck. He he says. Are we going to need to cuff you?
The you line sure is Bookham Dano.
Call me Greg.
Greg, we're going to book you. You're going to be entered into the system, but you may walk out of here without a problem if you give me what I want to hear.
I'm already in the system.
All right. Well, they basically send you through booking. Anything that you've got on you is taken away. You're given a set of just basic, a jumper onesie to wear.
And that much? Really?
Yeah.
They don't usually take your clothes.
Oh, yeah. They take everything just in case you've got anything stashed or hidden on you. Don't ever cuff you. No one talks to you much, but no one's particularly, there's no shoving or, oh, look, you hit your head on the wall. Nothing like that.
Do I get a shower by chance?
Nope. They do this pretty quickly. They have you put all your belongings in a box. They give you your onesie, and you're led to a conference room.
Those slippers?
Yeah, you got the slippers. All right, and so they leave you in the conference room for a bit. Someone does ask if you want a beverage.
I'll take some coffee and a power energy drink. not an energy drink, a Gatorade.
Right. Yes, they bring you soy calf and soy energy.
Brondo. Brondo.
Yeah, there you go.
Brondo, yeah.
And a Brondo. All right. After a while, officer in charge comes back, and he puts a picture in front of you. It's an elf. Looks familiar. Looks like the guy that you saw at the meet last night. He points to the picture and says, "Have you seen this man? Or this elf?"
Of course I have. You don't ask questions you don't know the answer to.
For the record, have you seen this man?
In passing.
And when was this in passing?
I state for the record, Hello.
Sorry.
I state, the time difference of however many hours ago. It was like, what, an hour ago? 2 hours?
No, it's more like 3 or 4 hours at this point.
Okay, so, about 4 hours ago, first time I laid eyes on him.
Mm-hmm. And under what circumstances?
There was a transaction underway. Didn't go through.
He just nods. There was a body at the scene. Seems to have died of a heart attack. Who was this man? He puts a picture of
Topol
on a coroner's table.
My employer. I was in hired for muscle, in case.
He scoffs at that. I see.
Intimidation. You know what it is.
What was the item under question?
A magical artifact of some kind.
He nods. And it says, have you ever met this man, this elf before? Under any circumstance?
To the best of my knowledge, no. Besides before tonight.
All right. He runs his hands through his hair. He pulls out a cigar. Offers you one. Sits down across the table for you. Sit down across the table. He's been standing to this point. He says, all right. Tell me, from the time you met your employer here to the meet and what you know about it. I don't think you're really involved with it. You breaking, entering, petty offenses. There's
in the Barrens, no less.
Yeah, yeah. The guy did have a security contract, but I'm willing to let all that go. I am more interested in this man or elf. He goes by the handle Bloodwing. He's a terrorist.
Sounds terrible.
Kind of looks at you to see if you're making fun of him.
He knows my record.
Right.
Even though it's been purged by the government.
Down from the tiers here to make some problems. Anything he's interested in, we're interested in. So, he got the item then?
He did not.
Oh.
As good. I said, the transaction did not go through.
All right. Who has the item?
Stone Dog stone faces him for a moment. It is, last I know, still in my possession.
You said some kind of magical who's a what's it?
No more idea than that.
Huh. All right.
Mr. Topol was a dealer and such.
Fair enough. Yeah, we got a jacket on him. We know what he was trading in. Nothing really on his record either. Pretty clean guy.
He said it was an up-and-up deal, though I didn't like the trade location. But that's what I was paid to do. Did have a few bullets thrown our way while we were on the way.
Right. Did you maybe overhear anything? He points at the picture. Did this man say anything? Did he have men with him? Anything that you can tell me that might help us out here?
He faded into shadows.
Hmm. No accomplices? You hear any other voices?
Did I?
Nope. You didn't.
Just checking. None that I was aware of. My perceptions are limited to this plane, I'm afraid. He seemed of the magic sort.
All right. Well, I'm going to assume that at this point you've sold the merchandise off. Can you...
It's up for the highest buyer at the moment. Would you like to purchase it?
He looks at you kind of sharply with that and says, look, anything that a terrorist is interested in is probably not good for the public health in general. Really going to sell something like that to the highest bidder?
Personally, I would like
to be the lowest bidder.
Personally, I would like to turn it in for a reward of some kind.
Reward, huh? Thinks about it for a minute. Could be done. Tidy this up a little bit more. I'll tell you what. He basically gives you a number. He says, like, this is my personal number. You put me in contact with someone that can make a deal for that box. I'll see what I can do. We might have some discretionary funds in the budget.
I can make the deal for the box. I know where the box is.
All right. Well, if that's all you got for me, I'm pretty convinced that you are not connected to this terrorist. You're free to go. Just we'll sweep the break and entering charges, etc. My officers weren't unduly damaged, and they should have known better.
He shrugs. I didn't want to hurt your boys.
Appreciate that. Well, he stands and says, let me see what we can do for an offer. You'll get a call from me. In the meantime, he points at the picture again. I don't expect this guy will give up on his merchandise, so take care of yourself, he smiles.
Thanks for the warning. And my associates aren't in any undue need to be here either.
Oh, no, we need to talk to them, too. We will continue trying to find everyone else that's involved with this. I'll give you a clear sheet. If you want to tell your friends to come in, I can clear them as well. But who knows? Anybody could have heard something that might be useful to me.
We were all hired at the same time, so unless they know him before me, I don't think they've seen him before me either.
Right, and we won't know that until we talk to them, now will we?
No, fair enough. I'll give the word, but, I figure we'll only talk to him one at a time. The third party that might be an issue, I think he's a little incapacitated at the moment.
That's a rough trade you're in, my friend. Should go legitimate. There's less bullets involved. Pay is not as good, but, benefits are great.
Wish I could. Got burned by the government. You know how it is.
He looks at you for a moment. No. No, I don't. He walks out of the conference room. In a little bit, the box with all of your possessions is returned to you.
Do I get a shower now?
No.
Damn. Oh, well.
The officers have neatly and tidily bagged the messy Chinese leftover in the box into individual bags and left them in the box.
It's topples anyway. So I also get my gun back, or
yeah,
has that disappeared?
Oh, actually, let me think about it. This is the gun that you found from last session with the serial numbers basically filed off. You do not get that back.
Yeah. Well, you said it was a new gun, but yeah, sure. Serial numbers filed off.
Yep.
That's fair enough. I can always get another. They can only connect it to one murder.
Only one! Yes!
If that guy hasn't already been sold for parts.
Mm-hmm.
Which he absolutely has already.
All right. Well, you're let go. You're released.
So I start spotting for a trail. Tail.
Yep. Go ahead and give me a roll. Definitely, probably mastermind for an approach.
Okay.
And alertness. Anything else you want to find in there that you might have that will help you with the trail are being tailed, and I will roll for them.
Evasion? Ex-military street samurai?
Sure. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Okay, that is my distinction, so that's 2d8 plus a d6. You want to send me some stakes?
10.
Ooh! Let's see, do I got the mojo? I do not. I did not make it, so...
What did you roll? I don't see anything.
Seven.
Seven. Okay, yeah. If they are following you, you are unaware of any such tail. Where are you heading?
Back to that AV shop, to buy another burner phone.
All right. They're closed for the day. The closed sign is on the door.
I go over to, like, I don't know, a vending machine that sells cell phones.
You go outside of a stuffer shack and you find a vending machine of cell phones, yes.
It's either that or just a payphone.
All right, either one.
So I'll get a burner phone at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I call up Eddie.
All right. A number you've never seen before shows up on your phone, Eddie.
It's not unusual in my line of work.
No, it's not, unfortunately.
Sorry, yeah. Yeah?
It's Stone Dog. Checked clear. You can go in for questioning and you'll get any minor offenses related to this swept under the rug. There may be a payday yet. Hold on to the box.
All right.
Meanwhile, Candy, at your shop at your door, there is a knock on the door. You still have your clothes sign up.
Okay, I'm going to peek around the sign and see who it is.
There are six youngish people standing outside, all of them dressed in various gothy clothing. They look almost like vagrants. Their clothing is pretty ratty and torn. They're all very thin, emaciated looking.
Do we have the box back by now?
Yes.
Okay.
Is Eddie with them?
I don't think so. I think Eddie went elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went to one of his old bars, probably.
Yeah, somewhere out. Could hide out.
I will crack the door, but there's a chain on it, so you know it only cracks a little bit with the because it's locked.
Yep.
Okay, so I can talk to them. Yes.
The guy at the door says, "We're here about Topol."
Who?
And he kicks your door in.
Oh dear.
All right.
I think they haven't heard of Sparks before.
All right. So the door isn't going to offer enough resistance since it's opened. It's just the chain.
Right.
Are you going to try and stand in the way or are you going to let the door fly open?
The door can open, and I will come to the side, and there's lightning in my hands.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, they all step into the room. You notice that they also, there's some glow to the eyes, there's some glow to the hands. They seem to be wearing some different magical talismans about their bodies. They all have very dark hair as well, with the very thin features. And so they kind of barge into your shop. And the leader of the group, it's a young man, probably not even 20 yet. Very irate. All of them actually look a little sad, as well as angry. You know, it's one of the girls, the eyeliner has looked like it's been running, although she's still very firm in her resolve as well. She's got a little bit of fire playing between her fingers.
I'm yes. Just excuse you?
Excuse
you
me?
No. That door.
Excuse what? You. what right do you have to meddle with our mentor? He's dead now. What did you have to do with that? And he gets in your face.
Okay, well, my lightning's going to get bigger, and I'm right back in his face because I'm feisty.
All right.
I do not know who you are talking about. You will pay for my door, young man.
All right. All right. So this is kind of a face down here. To you guys, who does it sound like should be defending here?
Actually, I believe Spark should be defending. They've entered into her home.
Yeah, we'll go with that. We'll see how it works. Okay, you're trying to basically bluster back at him, and it sounds like intimidate him back. You haven't let anything fly yet, so this is just verbal for right now. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and make your pull then.
All right. Well, I guess I'll go with Will, right? Because okay. We're going there, and should I go?
You could do strength instead of Will if you wanted to, because strength is also socially. It's like your determination.
Okay.
If you wanted to.
No, I have Will higher.
Okay.
Will, and then would this be hitter? Because it's definitely like.
I think hitter would be
in your face.
Yeah, because this is very heated.
And direct.
Okay. Yep.
All right. And then can I add feisty?
You sure can.
All right. All right, so that gives me 2d8s and a d10.
Mm-hmm. If you wanted to, this is a place where you can make the call that since this is your home, this is your place of power, you could throw in your d8 since, you know, this is, you know how best to, you know, this is your place. This is where you draw comfort, where you draw strength from. If you want to throw that die in there for it, you can do it.
Oh, my, one of my hero dice?
No, your lifestyle, your D8.
Oh, okay.
Because wow. In this case, this is your home, and rated at a D8.
All right, can't hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it can.
Well, no, it didn't hurt this time. All right, so I got a 2 6s, a 7, and a 10.
Okay. So you make your choice here of which ones you want to include. 2 dice to make your total, and 1 die to make your, basically, how effective it's going to be. Now, the effect die, it doesn't matter what the number on it is. It's the size of the die. So you got 3d8s and a d10?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's 13 versus 17. Let's just do, we'll do 13 as my total, and then we'll do the d10 as my effect.
Okay. Sounds
good. Bold.
Nice.
Well, they're in my space. They broke my door.
All right. So we'll give the general D6. This is a D8 Shaman Punk. However, I'm going to give him another D8 because he is currently grieving for his dead master. And believes you have something to do with it. So I'm rolling 2 D8s and a D6. I got
how
a six,
did anyone find this place?
There's the one.
Yeah. So you can buy that one if you want.
Okay. And when I buy it, I create an advantage for myself.
Yes.
On the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So
it will be stepped up to a D8 advantage if you do it that way. Or you can buy down the news broadcast that's going out trying to find Mr. Drood and third accomplice still. You could spend that to buy that down and off the screen. Which in the fiction would just mean that the officer reconsiders and decides to pull back his the news broadcast. But it's up to you.
We'll let them be hunted a little bit longer.
All right.
So for an advantage, do I have to like name it? Do I have to think of something?
Yep. Something that gives you an advantage in the scene.
Well, it is my shop. I know where all the dangerous things are. Can I just call it my shop?
Sure.
Or is that too vague?
Yeah, well, that's fine. We can do that. Or we can call it, you know your shop well or something like that.
Home field advantage.
Home field advantage. Hey, that's a good one.
Okay. I know I spelled that wrong, but that's okay.
Yeah, and you can tag it onto that die. So I only rolled a 10, and what did you choose as your highest?
15.
my 13.
It was a 13. 13 with a D10 effect.
All right, no problem. Yeah. That is, this is an NPC, so you beat him. Yeah, he backs down first. You know, yeah, he steps back away from you. His flunkies around them kind of come up behind him to support him. And, you know, he's got tears in his eyes now. He's like, what gives you the right? He didn't hurt anybody, but he's backed off from you.
First of all, I don't know who you're talking about. Second of all, why do you think I'm connected to him?
He says, we followed the guys that killed him. They came here. They had that. He points at the box.
You followed them. What? You should have followed them right through the back. They're not here. Can't you see? It's just
me. Well, they came to you, and you've got the box. So you've got... What were you, the buyers or something? Did you decide to rub them out instead of paying him?
You guys weren't paying attention for very much because, you know, we left and came back after they left. You guys need to pay more attention.
He looks kind of sharply at one of the younger kids. He shrugs. It's like, you're supposed to be the lookout. One of them smacks him on the back of the head.
All right. So, you just calm yourselves down and we'll figure it out. What do you know about this thing?
Pointing to the box. About the box.
Yeah.
One of the girls speaks up and says, Topol got it some guy. He travels the world, got it from some South Pacific island.
All right.
Topol's hoping to make a score to be able to get his shop back together, you know, after it burned down. He wasn't asking much for it. And, you know, tears to the eyes again. You guys didn't have to kill him for it.
All right. Quit that. I didn't touch him.
paid somebody to do it. She looks around your shop. It's like, you people with money, that's all you think of. Holding on to it. Treading all over the little people. And she's like marching forward to you. Some of the other kids kind of grab her arms, hold her back.
just giving her the eyebrow.
What's Mr. Grog doing during all of this?
At the moment, I'm just going to step in front of the box just so I'm between it and the box. Right. So, them in the box. But otherwise, I'm just looking big and menacing and troll-like.
Yep. So she just starts shouting. It's like, you don't know about family. You don't know about clan. All you hermetics and your math and your sciences.
One of y'all need to shut her mouth. Or I'm going to do it for her.
Ooh. Yeah, that makes a lot of them just more angry.
Fine with me. All right. So from the South Pacific Islands, does that trigger any knowledge that my character would have?
I can't imagine why.
What's your intelligence die?
My intelligence is a D10.
You know some of the things. Some things in the news. I mean, that's gang territory. There are, you know, lots of pirates out in that way. Caribbean League, which is basically a big group of criminals, work out of that area.
Would I know, like, what kind of magic is typically practiced in that area?
Not your kind.
Not my kind. Okay, well.
Yep. Lots of magic based on religion that you think is a bunch of hooey. And, you know, they dabble in lots of dark things out there.
Okay. Hold on just a second. Toddler needs to go potty. I'll be right back.
All right. They look over at the troll, who has failed to be intimidating or...
Okay, what the troll is going to do at this point is put the box behind the counter, so if anyone goes for it, it's going to be a bit of a delay and there'll be plenty of time to get them. So, anyone for a cup of tea? And I'll start making tea for people. It's hard to be angry when you're sitting down having a cup of tea.
One of them's like, you got Jarling?
This is a fancy place, sure.
Rifle through her cupboards. Yeah, she's got tea. Look at that tea.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to be angry when you got a when you're having a cup of tea.
Yes.
You know this great organic tea seller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead. Give me a roll of this. You know, you're trying to bring it down a few notches, make it a little bit calmer, making some tea. Go ahead. Give me a roll on that. Probably Grifter.
Oh, that's good. Yep.
And. 10. maybe alertness on this as you're trying to play the psychological approach. And
okay.
You know, I understand you're grieving. Have some tea.
Yeah. That would be pushing it, I suspect.
And there's this advantage on the table, too. It's, Katie's not the only one that can use it, so you can grab that.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of the other weird things I can pick on. I'm going to pick on something strange. The fact that I'm in designer armor that doesn't look like armor, it just looks like a designer business suit. I look professional. I don't look like... I don't know if I can do that or not.
I'm just putting it out there.
I'm just putting it out there as an odd thing to do.
Although they've already made it clear they've got a little disdain for people with wealth. You might want to put it in as a D4. It might hurt your cause. Your choice.
Sure, all the things I've got are going to pretty much be against me. So let's make it a D4 against me.
Well, your stakes are low. Only a 6.
Come on, 1. Wow. Tag 6.
I don't see what you rolled yet. What'd you get there?
2, 2, 4.
2, 2, 4. Well, if you wanted to spend a plot point to include the other two, you would make it. Otherwise, tying isn't enough. You also have a big damn hero dice you could throw in if you wanted to.
Yeah, I've got 2 plot points now. We don't keep them, so I'll throw in a plot point to make it an 8.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Katie. So your house guest rummaged through your shelves and found some tea and has made a nice teapot. It seems to have calmed people down a bit. So they're all arranged around your dining room table, sipping tea, being a bit more sociable.
All right. I lost my train of thought.
tea does that.
Okay. Now, tell me from the middle. I don't need everything. Just you were following your mentor. You saw him die. And then you followed the people you think killed him to my house.
Yeah. Hey, you know, the same speaker. He's a little calmer now. It's like, yeah, we heard he died. We got some connections at the morgue. We were able to get to his body. You know, a few tricks we got on hand. We were able to, you know, we knew who he hired, at least what they look like. And we, you know, we're Raven Clan. makes a little sign there, which to you is they're shamanistic spellcasters, and they follow the totem of Raven, which is a city spirit.
Okay.
Right. So it's like, and Topol was our leader there for a while. Thought most of us got us off the streets, cleaned up, taught us a little bit about the lore, and we want some payback for him. Yeah, he didn't have to die like that. There's nothing wrong with his heart.
Shamanistic people, huh? Should we show them the box? See if they can make anything else out of it? Have you guys ever seen the box or what's inside of it?
The girl says, Topol showed it to me once. He said it probably fetch enough to get his place put back together and maybe a little bit of money for inventory. I didn't like the feel of it. There's something really wrong with it.
Yeah, it's got a containment spell, keeping something inside of it.
Yeah, I felt that.
Okay, well.
But even so, he thought he had some buyers online. When we were able to pick his brain, so one of the kids looks a little squeamish when she says that. And we saw who he hired. We figured that, you know, some kind of meet went on. He found a buyer. He hired some people to help. Fat lot of good they did. one of the other kids says.
Did he ever touch this thing?
Yeah.
See,
same girl is talking.
See, now, I can't exactly make out what it is, but I know you shouldn't touch it.
What? Best wishes. So it's his fault? It's his fault now? One of them's like, shh, have some tea. It's all right.
It's fresh tea for everyone.
Wow. Do you know, you said he got it from someone in the South Pacific. You don't know who he got it from?
one of his regulars, somebody he knew pretty well. It's probably in his books. We got most of his stuff in a storage shed.
How about I tell you this? We will help you, we'll help each other. How about you tell me who he got this thing from?
Well, like I said, I don't know who he was, but his notes probably have it in there. We still have all of his sales journals.
Yeah, send somebody to go figure it out.
It's a lot of stuff, and some of us aren't the best at reading. If you want to come along, if you can help us out, that'd be great.
Fine. Sure. Take us to the paperwork.
There might be some money in it for us, so yeah, sure.
Can I have another cup of tea first?
Of course.
And the sugar cubes are moved around. And we'll end with this one. Mr. Drood, you're at your favorite bar. You got a name for your favorite bar, Mr. Drood?
The Hole.
The Hole. Perfect. The Hole. Sounds like an orc dive, maybe.
It's certainly a dive.
Yep. So the bartender is... sympathetic ear. You come in quite often. You probably got a tab running that you pay off whenever you make money here and there. You might even do a little bit of work on the side. Somebody gets in a bar fight, do some stitching, that sort of thing. So you got a good relationship here. And so you're having a round on the bartender. Noticing you got troubles. He pays for a round. You got a few televisions up and you're watching the game, on the screen. And into the door. Walks a familiar face, one you just saw the night before. It is the elf you saw briefly speaking to Topol, and he seems to be looking around the room.
What are they doing? How are they finding people? Never mind.
He hasn't spotted you yet.
Has he gotten my call yet?
Sure. Yeah, this will be
the one which
later.
Said to go. I could go in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to hold on to the box. There's still a payday.
All right. Yeah, I was gonna message Grog as soon as I could, just to say, hey, we still might be able to sell it.
All right. So won't Grog will get this. Probably right around the time you guys are finishing with tea. All right. Yeah, he seems to be scanning the room.
I'm going
to
leave my beer.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to sit there and drink it.
Okay. In which case, he will eventually pick you out. He'll pull the chair next to you and sit down. To the bartender, he says, I'll have one of what he's having. Points at your mug.
Mm-hmm.
So, said, contact Wildstar. Seems like he's laying low. I still want my merchandise.
That's great. I'm not Wildstar. Yeah. How did you get me?
I have ways.
All right.
So, Topol's out. You got the box. You willing to make a deal?
What's the pay?
I'll offer you what I offered Topol.
Topol died. Topol got the police involved here. Price goes up.
All right. He drinks what you were drinking. Grimaces. Decides to order something different. And says, all right, what were you thinking?
That's not how this works.
All right. He stretches his back, puts his hands on the table so that you can see both of his hands so he doesn't... So his hands are in view. And he says, we were offering Topol, $6,000. Yeah, it's caused some problems. We've also had to do some considerable legwork and had to spend a bit of money to track you down.
You were offering Topol $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit. You were not offering Topol $6,000. You were offering Topol so much more than that.
He smiles. Could be.
No. We were. You were. If we're going to piss around with this, I got no reason to talk to you.
25.
Make proper offer. No, you still weren't even offering that. You were offering a good chunk of change. I know, because I know what he was paying me. And I know what he was paying the other guys on the crew. So you'll make the offer that you made Tobal, and then you up it. You don't try and buy me off with this shit.
I like it.
We've done the same.
Thanks for a moment. Grabs a bar napkin, and he does some writing on it. He folds it, hands it over, and says, "That's as much as I'm willing to pay. If it's worth a payday to you, give me a call." And he walks out.
Did he leave a number?
I was going to say, hasn't left a number. Well, never mind. I look at the thing, and I go, wow, that's a lot of money. And that's a shitty telephone. Oh, I got my way around.
Is that a 3 or a 5? Wait, hold on. Damn, it's got wet. Curse these beer nuts.
No, man.
All right, yeah, so he folds a napkin, lays it in front of you, and walks out.
Take a look and see what he's offering.
800,000.
What's he offering?
Oh, I'm sorry, say that again.
What's he offering? I looked at the napkin to see how much he's...
That was the offer, 800,000.
See, I didn't hear you say that at all.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, yeah. All right.
And there is a link contact number.
So how much can I tell just by the phone number? Will I know if it's a burn phone or
link numbers? Link numbers are really don't work in like phone numbers do. I mean, they could be, they're usually a 16-digit string of, it could be anything.
Right, okay.
I mean, if you knew a hacker, you might get it traced and see if it's a burner, if it's a phone in a residence, something like that. But just from the number, you really can't tell a lot.
See, I know a hacker, and I would love to get him to help. But once again, Mr. Patterson is off when he's needed. God damn him again.
Again. This would be a good place to end that, since you may need a hacker the next time. So you've got an offer on the table. There's another offer potentially brewing from Lone Star themselves.
Yeah, I assume this is the same offer that Stone Dog contacted me about. Because, I don't know. I mean, he said, hey, there's a payday coming. So,
so Stone Dog could have sent this guy to you.
Yeah, I assume that this guy was part of the Law Dogs, and it was a sting or something to try and get Tobal. Or just to get the artifacts.
You don't know the story yet. So
Did you say he was talking to Opal? That's where we saw him from, or was he actually talking to Opal in the bar?
No, he was the elf.
He's the guy who was trying to buy the thing at the meet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Just making sure Topol didn't rise from the dead.
No.
All right.
Not yet, anyway.
So we're going
kind of there. Risen from the dead. There would have been a distinctly different conversation between him and Drew there.
All right. So that's the end of this episode?
Yep, that is the end of the session there. And, okay, well, we'll go ahead and end the recording. Say goodnight, everybody. This is the recording.
Good night, recording.
Hi, everybody. At least the recording.
Music in this podcast was created by Kevin MacLeod. More great music can be found at his website at incompetech.com. If you enjoy the show, we would love to hear from you. You can find links to our public forums, the software that we use, and other information at our homepage at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. Reviews on iTunes, recommends at rpgpodcasts.com, and email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com are also appreciated. Thank you for listening.